Salutations, my friends, and thank you for tuning in to another one of the minicasts. I titled this one, Digital Tripping. The reason why, we're going to be looking at this virtual reality machine that makes your mind trip. And the reason why I feel like this is something that we need to look at is because this is a consistent theme that I've seen over time. I tried to find the video for you guys, but what I did is I got the video from our previous Autonomous Society Part 3, where they have this doctor basically prescribing virtual reality games for pain. What I'm trying to say by getting into all of this at the start is that we see them trying more and more to push us into this matrix, push us into this virtual reality where we dissolve ourselves physically and then be absorbed mentally, emotionally, and all kinds of other things. So with that being said, let's get right into it. So like I said, this is called digital tripping because we're talking about these people doing some crazy stuff to us. I know this seems kind of silly to people. You really got to think about it, though. What happens whenever you get into a trance playing video games? What happens whenever you get into a trance reading stuff on the internet? What happens whenever you get into anything that is part of this digital matrix, you see? And this is why we really have to look at what this means. It really does seem silly, but just last week, we put out an article on our website, and if anything, I'll try to get this up for you guys, but we also put it up on the page as well. We put it up on the website. It's called The FDA Approving a Digital Pill That Modifies Your Behavior. Think about that, okay? But they're saying a machine can make you trip. A machine can give you these kinds of psychedelic states of mind. And the reason why this is being introduced, why these different types of alternative therapies instead of, you know, holistic therapies, that's why so many holistic doctors are being murdered, because they don't want to try to actually fix problems. They just want to, you know, exacerbate the issue, so to speak. So there's a lot that comes with this. But the opioid epidemic as well is part of this. They see how much damage that's doing, killing people all over the place. They want to try to do something else. They want to introduce this as an alternative. They see how much people spend time on their phones. They think they can come up with more digital ways. This is them trying to be slick and implanting you with this different type of technology. Imagine that. Something that is able to send and receive signals. But I put this up November 15th. It says that the FDA approves the first digital pill for behavior modification. It says, as one technocrat physician stated, quote, when patients don't adhere to the lifestyle medications that are prescribed for them, there are really substantive consequences. Healthcare enters a new phase as treatment is delivered by enforceable drug regimens. Physicians will be mandated to use digital drugs or face censure or dismissal. Physicians are already subjected to evidence-based medicine, EBM, where treatments are mandated from above, while penalties from compliance. Not for the first time, the Food and Drug Administration has approved a digital pill, a medication embedded with a sensor that can tell doctors whether and when patients take their medicine. The approval, announced late on Monday, and this was last week, marks a significant advance in the growing field of digital devices designed to monitor medicine taking and to address the expensive, long-standing problem that millions of patients do not take as the drug prescribed. Experts estimate the so-called non-adherence or non-compliance to the medication costs about $100 billion a year. Much of it could be because of patients getting sicker and needing additional treatment or hospitalization. When patients don't adhere to the lifestyle or medications that are prescribed to them, there are really substantive consequences that are bad for the patient and very costly, said Dr. William Schrank, chief medical officer of the health plan division at the University of Pittsburgh's Medical Center. Okay, and basically what they're talking about is how, you know, it sends out a signal to your family members. It sends out one to your doctor. It sends it out to four people in your family, your doctor, and everybody else, including like electronic data of whenever you take your pills. So imagine that. Imagine being called up by all kinds of different people. That's behavior modification, because it's the ultimate form of peer pressure, the ultimate form of social engineering. But you put this pill in your body, therefore you consented to this experiment, therefore you're a part of this. You see. And that's just one way, through peer pressure, through telling people to do these types of things. But whenever we look at it, why are they trying to have us have these digital things in us? Why are they trying to do these types of invasive procedures? You see, even even Bill Gates is working on a digital contraceptive. That's crazy. In an attempt to try to make somebody infertile for an extended period of time, he's trying to make a digital contraceptive. And that's kind of what this sounds like, if you ask me. But these types of things are happening. They want to induce our mind into an even deeper trance. That's why they try to talk to us very calmly. They really try not to make it a deal about the concept of them literally transforming us, putting us inside of some kind of matrix, messing with our mind, messing with reality, creating their own kind of sub-reality that we can tune into, saying, you know what, we don't need to worry about our lives. We don't really need to worry about what's happening. We just need to sit here and be a part of this experiment, be a part of this digital world, dissolve away physically. So whenever we're talking about a virtual reality game for pain relief, well, how far is it for a virtual reality machine that lets you blow your mind? They're already trying to get you to have pills inside of you. They're already trying to have you injected with some kind of device that can send and receive signals. Who's to say that signal doesn't get hijacked? Who's to say something doesn't happen to them in between all that? You see. And what happens if there's any kind of updates, any kinds of accidents, any kind of mishaps, anything that takes place? You see. But people don't look at it like that. What they look at it as is something that's fun. Saying, yes, sign me up for this. Sign me up for this. I want to do some of these virtual reality drugs. I'm about that. And they are. They are. I put this up November 20th. It says, virtual reality machine lets you blow your mind without taking psychedelic drugs. It's from Sign of the Times. It says, VR tech had to branch out into the world of psychedelics sooner and or later. A hallucination machine developed by a British university makes it possible to trip without taking illegal drugs. Instead of experimenting with LSD and magic mushrooms, researchers at Sussex University's Sackler Center for Conscious Science have chosen a safer option that puts out more reliable data, a virtual reality headset designed to hallucinate in the same way that a human brain does. Using the headset, researchers can turn the real world around us into a psychedelic hallucination without the high. The technology is based on Deep Dream, a computer program created by Google engineer Alexander Mortvinstev that enhances images using algorithmic pareidolia. When the mind responds to a stimulus like a sound or an image by perceiving a familiar pattern where none actually exists, academics hope that the virtual reality program will help them understand how the brain reacts when the rules of nature, time, and space no longer apply. So they're basically saying, you know what, let's give this to these people. Let's give these people some virtual reality drugs. So we're going to come back to this because I want to try to see if I can find something for you guys. And the reason why is because this, to me, this kind of stuff, and we talked about this before, you know, mini brains and how they're trying to grow this kind of these specimens, so to speak, this type of I don't even know what you would call it. There are scientists that are growing mini brains called organoids, where they're basically trying to create or at least understand the brain in a different way that they wouldn't normally have the chance to. So what are they doing? They're giving these little mini brains drugs. They're inducing psychedelic trips on these tiny human brains, you see. But even then, we've talked about how, again, these organoids, these tiny human brains, again, and you've really got to look at what all this stuff means, these tiny human brains, how they're trying to put them in rats. So what is it here that I'm really talking about? What is this digital tripping? You see, what is it that they're actually doing? Could you imagine that? Imagine being just some game that they have, or that they tell you is a game. You put yourself inside of this little digital matrix. You put this headset on, and now you're inside the body of a rat. But you only think it's a game. That's only the way that the technology works. That's just how far it is right now. it seems a little game-ish, but that's because they're able to render it a certain way. But you're on this virtual reality set, but you've actually taken control of a rat's body. Could that be digital tripping? Could that be where we're at? You see. So when we have to ask the question of what is it that they're actually trying to do, what does this mean for life? Yeah, I know, it sounds really silly. The idea of them literally... There we go. Boom. October 11th. Found it. I was really trying to get this for you guys because this is, again, pretty important. And apparently we put this up on our website as well. New research reveals the effect of psychedelic drugs on many brains. Because I'm serious. This is something that we follow. This is some very serious stuff, if you ask me. And that's why we have to really look at it. Like I said, with them talking about tiny human brains and rats. And now this, not only growing mini brains, they're past that. Yes, we're going to grow mini brains. Yes, we're going to do these things. But we're also going to give them psychedelic drugs. We put this up October 11th. It's from us, but it's actually a repost from the Truth Theory by Fatima Mahdi. It says, however, we still do not know how much about what these drugs do to our brain. On October 9th, 2017, a Brazilian study which tested the effect of psychedelic drugs on the brain was published in the Journal of Scientific Reports. Okay, the scientists used human mini brains, also known as organoids, and found that the hallucinogenic compound known as 5-MeO-DMT triggers changes in the neural signaling pathways associated with inflammation, neuronal plasticity, and neural degeneration. Recent studies have demonstrated that psychedelic substances such as LSD, MDMA, and ayahuasca hold therapeutic potential with possible anti-inflammatory and antidepressant effects. However, these studies have been unable to explain how and why these compounds have produced specific positive effects. Quote, for the first time, we could describe psychedelic-related changes in the molecular functioning of human neural tissue, said Stephen Rahan, the study leader, a professor of Federal University of Rio de Janeiro and head of research at Dior Institute for Research Education. Well, that's a very impressive title. In order to reveal the effects of 5-MeO-DMT, researchers exposed cerebral organoids, which used a 3D cultures of neural cells that resemble a developing human brain, to a single dose of psychedelic. Of the psychedelic, the team found that 5-MeO-DMT altered the expression of almost 1,000 proteins. After mapping out which proteins were impacted, they found a clear pattern in results. Exposures to the psychedelics down-regulated proteins involved in inflammation, degeneration, and the brain lesion, and upregulated proteins important for synaptic function and maintenance. Quote, results suggested that the classic psychedelics are powerful inducers of neuroplasticity, a tool of psychobiological transformation that we know very little about, said Siddhartha Ribeiro, study co-author and director of the Federal University of Rio Grande do Norte Brain Institute. Professor and co-author Duarte Arroyo added, the study suggests possible mechanisms by which these substances exert their antidepressant effects that we have been observing in our studies. So let me say this real quick. This is what I kind of got from it and a quick gist. They're talking about how these little mini brains that they do have, they're already depressed. Okay, so that's what I'm getting. So their idea was, let's give them some more drugs. Let's give them some psychedelic drugs. Let's let them trip. They said that they were basically able to restore some kind of antidepressant effect to them. So not only are they giving DMT to these little mini brains that are growing, that are aware, that are conscious possibly to some degree, but they're also depressed and they're being given drugs. So they're being pushed into that ethos as well, that realm. You see what I'm saying? They're tripping other minds, so to speak. And that sounds crazy, but what is it that we're doing here? We're trying to talk about the digital aspect of this. Like I said, being put into this state where you're just some kind of weird, not even a zombie, you're just and not even a husk in your shell. You see, they're just telling you to put these types of things on. But what is a video game when you get transported there? What is a video game? Is this anything different? You see, these people, they're really trying to get us into this point to where we don't to where we disassociate from reality, to where we think everything's a game, to where life, it has no meaning. You have no meaning. It's all pointless. So why even bother, right? But that's what these people want. They prey. They prey on the weakness of man. They prey on the weakness of people. And if we continue to let them do these types of things, they'll win. So that's why they're trying to create a virtual reality machine that makes you trip. It seems simple now, but that's in the works. That's where they're eventually trying to go. They want to say, you know what? Get yourself out of reality. You don't need to be here. It sucks, right? You don't need to make yourself anything in real life. Make yourself everything in the digital life. Degrade yourself. Let's get back into this article. It says, academics hope that the virtual reality program will help them understand how the brain reacts when the rules of nature, time, and space no longer apply. Yes, that's exactly what they're trying to do. Break it away. Nothing matters. What will you do? Like with those organoids. What will you do whenever your brain is tripping that hard? Curiously, the program, just like the real and tangible human world, is filled to the brim with dogs. And researchers aren't quite sure why. The algorithm seems to have blended a dozen or so dog breeds together, so the chance of a person morphing into some kind of dog-headed monster while you're wearing a VR headset is very likely. So, not my rat theory, but apparently the dog theory. Sackler, Center for Consciousness Science, postdoctoral research fellow Dr. David Schwartzman said that the study is still a work in progress. Quote, "One thing people always ask us is, why are there so many dogs? The short answer is, we don't know," he told the Times. So far, Kisuke Suzuki and his team at the Sackler Center have shown that the hallucination machine's visual effects were similar to psilocybin and the active ingredient which is the active ingredient in magic mushrooms. Next week, the first results of the hallucinations machines tests will be published in scientific reports. So hopefully we come on to that. Hopefully we pay attention to that. But what I wanted to point out with this minicast to you guys is to talk about these types of things, to look at the very fact that there is a rise in opioid-related deaths, that they are trying to find different alternatives. This could be bad. I mean, they already have virtual reality therapy for PTSD, people that come back from war. This is a good thing, but you've really got to look at the intentions. You've really got to look at where this goes. We already have a lot of zombies, of brain dead zombies. You see what I'm saying? People, phone zombies. Not only do we have phone zombies, but we have people who are pill heads. Let's be honest. You know, I was and never have liked pills, drugs, pharmaceuticals, or anything like that. And that is why I'm so drawn towards this alternative lifestyle. That's why I follow all of this stuff when it comes to the holistic doctors and the vaccines and everything else, because you've really got to look at this agenda. Yes, it might seem great on the surface, but these are band-aids on scars. And we talk about this as well. This is pharmakeia. This is witchcraft. This doesn't actually heal anything. You see.
Okay. Well, Joe, if you could please state your name so we have it at the top of your interview.
My name is Joe Ranazizi.
My story on 60 Minutes this week is about a former DEA agent who saw the opioid epidemic growing and tried to stop it and ran into a brick wall in the form of Congress.
16,651 people in 2010 died of opiate overdose, okay? Opiate-associated overdose. This is not a game.
Are you the most high-level whistleblower to come out of the DEA?
As far as this, yes. As far as pharmaceutical opioid abuse and the way we handle it, yeah, I'm pretty much the highest level person that's come out.
An industry that allowed millions and millions.
Okay.
Millions of different people to die. And that's the kind of stuff that I'm talking about. This is something that's very serious. You know, when you're looking at the opioid epidemic, when you're looking at all these drugs that they're trying to push onto the society, that's a whole nother thing. You know, that's why they're able to make so much money off of marijuana. That's why they're asking so many different laws and different things about it, because they run the drug war. That's how this all works. You see, and then you start, I mean, like, look at, like we said, look at what's going on with the opioid epidemic. That's why Trump's over here saying it's a national emergency, but we're staying in Afghanistan and their opium production is it keeps going up. I don't know why. Yeah. You see, we can't figure out why. So whenever they try to offer these different alternatives, like virtual reality machine that's trying to trip you, that's because they're really trying to brainwash you if you want to get around to the... You see, they want to try to induce you to think a certain way. That's why they want to try to make it socially acceptable for people to be all these kinds of different junkies, to all be addicted to something. Because this is a part of that social engineering. You see, whenever you have addictions, you're unable to find salvation. I mean, and we talked about this before. Let's see if we can pull this clip up for you guys. You know, and this is, again, something that we need to look at, the different realms at which we are being attacked, so to speak, or engaged. Just last week, we heard about Sean Parker, one of the Facebook founders, talking about how, you know, we knew what we were doing whenever we gave you guys Facebook, give you a little hit of dopamine, drugs, get you a little bit addicted to what was going on. You see, here, let's see if we can get this clip up for you guys right there. Facebook founder Sean Parker questions the organization's influence. God only knows what it's doing to their brain, because let's hear what he has to say.
How do we consume as much of your time and conscious attention as possible? And that means that we need to sort of give you a little dopamine hit every once in a while, because someone liked or commented on a photo or a post or whatever. And that's going to get you to contribute more content, and that's going to get you, you know, more likes and comments. I mean, it's a social validation feedback loop that it's like a, I mean, it's exactly the kind of thing that a hacker like myself would come up with, because you're exploiting a vulnerability in human psychology. And I think that the inventors, creators, you know, and it's me, it's Mark, it's the, you know, Kevin Systrom at Instagram, it's all of these people, understood this consciously, and we did it anyway. How do we consume as
yep,
much?
And he's happy. You know, in the actual full thing, he talks about how, you know, even if you are a conscientious objector, you know, we'll get you anyway. Like you said, he's got to give you a dopamine hit every now and then. That's what the likes are, that's what the shares are, that's what the hearts are, that's what the everything. You see, and this is again a part of this matrix that they're trying to create. So whenever you take a step back and you look at it, so what would be the machine that would be their version of digital tripping? You see, why do we already have these types of things being pushed upon us? Why are they trying to, again, get us into this matrix? You see, it sounds silly, the simple idea of being induced into a state of tripping by a machine, right? But we've seen a lot of different advances. I'm sure they already have it. I mean, like I said, what did we lead in with? With this digital chip that they have inside of you that sends up information to four different people, probably through your Wi-Fi, which means if your Wi-Fi is hacked, whoever can hack your Wi-Fi can see that there's another thing broadcasting, and whatever's broadcasting inside of you, it can probably hijack that signal, pirate that signal. Boom, it's got your biological information. Not only does it have your access to your Wi-Fi, but it also has access to your inner verse, so to speak, your body. You see, and this is all part of this. This is a part of 5G. This is a part of the technocracy. This is a part of transhumanism, where they do these types of things. You see, how many people do you think will willingly sign up for it, knowing what it is? Knowing full well what it is. I mean, what was the MK Ultra project? People that signed up for these types of psychedelic experiments. And what did they do? They lost their mind. So imagine that. Imagine having a pill, like I said, put inside of you, that puts you inside of, as they said, I don't know why there's so many dogs, putting yourself inside of the dog's body. But they can clearly breed dogs. They can clearly make dogs. I mean, we put the video up and how people in Seoul, South Korea, are over here cloning dogs. So clearly they can make dogs. This is what they're doing. They can also clone people as well. And then implant them with these chips that receive your digital signal or your mental signal. We've really got to understand the times that we're in. I know this, it really does sound out there. But I'm just telling you what these people's intentions are. When you put the pieces together, this is why I try to follow this trend. The whole concept of drugs these days too, and this is why they're trying to push this on to people so in such a way. They're really trying to get people to disassociate from reality. They're really trying to have it to where you don't care about anything anymore. All you care about is staring at this screen that's telling you what to do. It's telling you how to feel, what to think, how to be. And that's why you got to make sure you fill your mind with something conscious. You've got to be aware of what's going on. They think they're slick. They really do. They think they're Sam Slick, which is another name for the devil, trying to get us into this matrix. The devil does not come to you in his true form. He's got to come to you in glitz and glamour. He's got to come with you with gold, jewels, rubies, diamonds, everything you want. Like they said, in a world where the laws of nature, space, and time do not exist, you don't need to be here. You don't need to be in reality. No, you don't need to exist. You need to be in your own world. Don't worry about the world falling apart around you. And this is something, again, that we talk about in our Building the Matrix series. The concept of them destroying the exterior world so that they can push us into this digital matrix, and these are the types of things where it starts. Imagine that. Imagine being able to send to have an app where you have this implant in you. You can control the duration of your trip, the intensity of your trip, and all kinds of different things. But would it even be a trip? Would it be real? It's a cheat code. Like all these people that go to these not. You get in, then that's whenever you get into the rave scene versus like all of the spiritualism that we see happening. You know, the guys that do the DMT one time with their buddies, not a shaman, mind you, but their buddies out there in the woods, and then they think they're God. You see what I'm saying? We really have to look at what's happening here. The overarching thing that I can try to say with this is they're trying to disassociate us from reality. This type of thing, it's a trap. Best thing I can say. We already have the way. If you're listening to this right now, we are already a part of this experiment to some degree. This is a deeper level. They're really trying to scramble people's brains. We've got to understand how deep and multi-layered this thing can really be. It's going to be great. It's going to be awesome, but it will be a trap, just like every other drug, machine or not. I mean, I'm pretty sure it's hard for you to put your phone down. With all the amount of work that I have to take care of, I know it's hard for me to put my phone down and take a weekend off. I mean, look, we just got hacked, and we're back at it, you see. Shouldn't I take a break? We don't know. But that's the kind of society that we're living in. This is something way deeper. So whenever we literally talk about these people conducting these types of experiments on the mind, trying to put us into these false states of reality, controlling what we think, we've got to ask ourselves, what's the ultimate goal? What are they really trying to do to us? Not for us, to us. You see, they say, go ahead, put the headset on. Just let us work on you out here. Let's give them some anesthesia. Let's give them some man-made drugs. We don't know. We do not know. They'll tell you it's anesthesia, and then they'll give you this thing, and hopefully by then, they will have come up with a way to figure out that dizziness feeling that you get whenever you're looking around in there, and they'll just work on you. And what's going to happen is you're going to be in between something, and they'll be done, and then you'll be upset whenever they pull you out. Because it will temporarily transform the hospital into a warm environment, someplace you'll want to be. You won't want to be where you actually are. And that's where we really have to look at it. These people are trying to disassociate us from reality. This is digital tripping, and that's their intention. And that's all I really have for you guys. But this is definitely a concept that we keep trying to find ourselves at. Why are they trying to not only get us addicted to drugs, but at the same time offer these weird and creepy different alternatives? Why can't we have our own control of our health? It's crazy. This is something that we'll have to come back to, because I feel like there's other aspects to look at when you're talking about this induced state of mind, this alternative state of mind that they're trying to put us in with these types of technology, because this is important. I know it seems silly right now, but we really got to look at how far this is going to go. Could you imagine being inside of a sensory deprivation tank, you know, with a VR headset in you, where you have all kinds of different haptic responses around you, haptic sensors? Like I said, the overarching goal of them is to disassociate us from reality. But like I said, that's all I really have for you guys. If you have any questions, feel free to email me. I'll have it in the description bar below. And as always, guys, stay vigilant, lies, and share truth. This is Noisera, Freedom Faction, out.